Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi there, and welcome to Scout the Game Week. Scout the Game Week is Fantasy Football Scout's weekly podcast brought to you by the Scout Network. In each episode, we'll look back at the game week we have just played to assess what we can learn to help us in the next round of fixtures. I'm your host, Ryan, from Football Chatbox. Let's scout the game week. This week, I'm joined by FPL Mess 8, Mira, to discuss the upcoming blank game week 29. And I've had Mira on the pod in Scout the Game Week before, but that was before it was like just purely audio and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And now I think you're making, is this your first appearance on Fantasy Football Scout in terms of video as well?
Or? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I've done the audio one previously. And yeah, great to join you for the videos version of it now.
Indeed. So this is now both video and audio. So how are you doing, Mira? And how's your season going so far?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Ryan. My season's not going as great as how I'm going, but I'm looking at the positives, you know, week after week, going through the game weeks. And, you know, we're now down to our final 10 game weeks. So I wish I could say that it's been a fantastic season, but the last couple of game weeks have been pretty good for me. So yeah, I feel like I'm like picking up, you know, making progress with my rank in the right direction finally. But I didn't have a great start to the season. So, yeah, but look, as I mentioned, I'm looking at each game week as it comes and being positive and sort of, you know, again, making all the right decisions that I can possibly make.
Indeed. So now, like you mentioned, right, 10 game weeks to go. We're in the business end of the season. This is where we're trying to make gains, take a couple of risks, try and chase down mini leagues, maybe try and hold down mini leagues. All of that yes. comes into this period. So I'll bring up your bus team just to give an idea for those who are watching. And for those listening on the podcast, your bus team currently consists of Areola, Reguilon, Doughty, Udogi, Bowen, Sun, Leon Bailey, Morris, and Watkins. So you've got nine players there. So it's kind of obvious, I guess, just to say that you're not playing your free hit this week. So what
That's
exactly
right.
is your chip plans going forward?
Yeah, great question. So I played my wildcard in game week 28. I was a little bit hesitant to play my wildcard in game week 28. And I think at least sort of three or four game weeks ago, I had planned to play my wildcard around 31, 30-ish. But my team wasn't looking in great shape coming up towards the double game week in 28, but also, you know, blank game week 29 as well. So I decided to pull, you know, the pin on that very, very quickly as soon as sort of, you know, game week 28 came around, realizing how bad things are probably going to look. I pulled my wild card out and, yeah, played it in 28. Which then meant I was able to set up well for 28 as well as set up well for 29. So as you mentioned, I've got nine players at the moment. I've got one free transfer. I haven't made that one free transfer just yet. And I'm okay to go into game week 29 with just 10 players. So I will, you know, make that transfer. I wasn't initially thinking maybe I try and field, you know, 11 for game week 29 and make sure that I don't need to make any transfers either. But it's really difficult to do that when you've pulled the wild card earlier and you're trying to look ahead at game week 30 onwards as well. And almost like preempting and anticipating what the wild carders in 30, 31 might be drafting in, you know, for their wild card. But for me and my team, it didn't make sense for me to play the wild card later. So from a chip strategy point of view, I've played my wild card, not playing my free hit in 29. I do plan to play my free hit perhaps in 34, depending on how things shape up as well. And then I've still got my bench boost remaining as well, which I'm waiting until game week 37 to play that, which I imagine would be a lot of FPL managers' strategy as well with the big, you know, double game week that's coming up in 37. Of course, there's lots of unknowns between now and then. So I might change tact depending on, you know, what my bench looks like towards the upcoming fixtures. Like, we just don't know. There's been some really good single game weeks where, you know, again, bench boost has been a really good, like, viable option for many managers. However, I think, you know, as it stands, that's what my chip strategy is looking like. So I'm quite happy not to be playing my free hit. I'm seeing a lot of free hit drafts at the moment. And I don't think I'm too far off what most teams have in their free hit at the moment.
Yep, fair enough. Now, last week I had Joe and he was on going to play a free hit this week. And then he was looking at a late wild card. So that kind of interested me because I was also on a very similar plan in terms of chips. Now, this week I am on most definitely a free hit and you're on a non-free hit. So it's going to be an interesting discussion to see like the contrast in views on like players that we're looking at. And I'm looking at your team and I go, you mentioned about trying to adjust or trying to predict what the game week 30-31 wildcarders will look like. And you got your bench of Palmo, Gusto, Gabriel, you got Saka in the starting 11 as well. All of those are what game week 30-31 wildcarders would want to have. So you ideally really want to remove them per se. Maybe there's a case for Saka, but it's very specific in certain people if they've got Saka late, because I've heard our good friend Tian, FPL Planner, he's considering removing Saka, but then that's because he got Saka late. So he has like,
yeah, I think
0.2 value or something tied in Saka. Me, on the other hand, I have 0.4 values tied in Saka. And I'm like, yeah, I can't remove Saka. That's not an option because I want him. And I think Arsenal, regardless of fixture, is still a pretty good team going forward. So then your only option for a blank is you look at and you've got Solanke. He's probably the only one you, if you want to get an extra player this week, the only one you're probably looking to remove. So we'll get into like who you might eventually get when we talk about the fixtures. But yeah, so let's start with the opening fixture. And I'll bring the fixture ticker up for those who are watching this on video as well. But starting with it, Burnley versus Brentford. Now, how do you see this fixture going? And from an FPL perspective, who are you looking at and who do you think will be the best options?
Yeah, but this is going to be an interesting match. I think I'm probably most, if I'm excited about any match, this is probably going to be the most interesting one, mostly because like Burnley have been scoring goals like recently. Obviously, that's very recent. And I think it's double D for Fana, who looked pretty good in that last sort of game for Burnley. But I think most of us are probably going to have the, you know, from a defense lineup point perspective, I have seen many drafts and, you know, and I was considering Flecken, you know, as my goalkeeper, especially, but I decided not to go with Flecken because I wanted to go with Reguilon as that attacking kind of, you know, defender to have. And I think the other obvious picks we're probably considering as part of our, you know, free hits or even just transfers as well. So those like me who are on the, you know, just making one transfer at a time or taking hits here and there, you're probably considering Tony as well. So like from a fixture point of view, it's a great fixture for Brentford, but it's not as though Brentford have been keeping clean sheets either. So I think it's going to be, there's going to be goals in the match, definitely. I do feel like on Brentford's good day, there could be a fair few goals. It could be something like 4-1, you know, or it could even be like, you know, 2-0, something like that. But look, Tony seems like the obvious pick, but Tony's performance hasn't necessarily been very good either. Whereas, like, you know, if we think about another attacking forward, for example, especially those like me who are, you know, probably thinking about taking out Solanke because they've already got two forwards that they'd be playing, especially if you have a midfield, anything like mine as well. Then you're probably considering Wissa potentially as that sort of, you know, second option there. But Tony's on pen. So I think, again, from that point of view, it'd probably be the obvious picks there. Of course, you know, Reguilon, we're not too sure what's going on with him. So, you know, he was obviously out in his last fixture. And so I think it's Roslev. I might be saying his name wrong.
Yeah.
So I think he's right back.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's basically the equivalent of Reguilon on the other side. Right. And so from an attacking returns point of view, he could be a really good option if we get news about Reguilon. But I think Reguilon would be the pick that you'd be going for. And most will already have in their teams if they haven't brought, you know, if they brought him in earlier, similar to me, if you're on a wild card or transfers earlier.
Yeah. So when I was watching the, also, this is Burnley versus Bournemouth. Bournemouth? They played last? Yeah. And I was like, it wasn't Bournemouth. It was Burnley versus Luton.
Luton?
Yes. Was it Luton? Oh, yeah. Who was Bournemouth?
No. Actually, it wasn't.
Zoned out here completely. let me bring this up again.
Seems like a distant memory.
I know. It was just the last game. Burnley versus West Ham. There we go. Okay.
West Ham. That's right.
They were so bad at, like, set pieces, Burnley. And I was like, if there's any team that I want in terms of, if I'm from Brentford players, I want players who are on a set piece, which is Reguilon. And unfortunately, there's no me or Pinnock, but no. They would have been really good candidates on the end of those set pieces.
I agree. Yeah.
Tony, like you mentioned, he hasn't looked as the same because it seems like he's now playing a deeper role. And then Wissa is the one who's ending on the, like, that, like, Tony sets the ball and then passes it, and then Wissa is on that follow through of that. So that's why I guess Wissa could be an interesting punt over Tony. But then again, there is penalties for Tony that makes a difference. And also, Tony most likely plays 90 minutes, whereas Wissa anywhere between 60 to 80, somewhere depending on the day. Yeah, so that's the one problem with Wissa. And especially on a free hit, I'm like, ideally would like to have as close to a 90 minutes player as possible.
I agree.
Yeah, the double up is the question.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, the other thing, you know, to consider as well is that defensively, the free, I guess, game week 29, the blank game week 29, it's not going to be great for defensive, you know, sort of fixtures anyway, right? I think when I was looking at sort of clean sheet odds, it said something along the lines of 20 to 25% for the fixtures that we've got coming up in 29. So that's not very high. It doesn't instill me with a lot of confidence. So I think if you're making transfers, it should be for the attacking ones.
Yes.
And there's not that many. So therefore, you know, you do want to have, you know, your 90 minute players, ideally anything above 80, that kind of thing. But yeah, I agree. Wiss is probably going to be around that 60 minutes. And depending on, I mean, Mope has been having a decent, he's been having a decent season as well. Yeah. Like, he's been getting the points, he's scoring goals. He's absolute havoc as well, isn't he? A pain. Yeah, again, he's probably only like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, depending on, and that's mostly between Wissa and Morpe. So ideally, if you want 90 minutes and you're not relying, you don't want to rely on your defense, right? Then Tony's probably the best pick.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the main key reason. And also, we kind of had to wait and see on Reguilon. He was a minor hamstring. We don't know that. Does that mean he's ruled out for 29 or what's the case there? And I guess that's where the right back Roslev,
I think it is. Yeah.
So he comes into consideration. Now, I don't know if he also takes set pieces. I need to kind of research on that and see whether he does take set pieces or not. And then it's that third Brentford player. And I think it's for managers on free hit, between Wissa or whether they go Flecken in goal.
Yes, that's right.
That's the decision making. And
Yeah. I think they probably have the highest chance for a clean sheet.
Probably, because
out of all the teams.
Yeah, given that Burnley are like one of the worst attacking time sides.
Yeah.
That's probably why I probably lean Flecken. Because even on the free hit, you have to make a hedge. And like you to go, okay, I just think these guys are the most likely to keep a clean sheet. I'm just going to roll with it, see what happens.
Agree, yeah.
And like you mentioned, if you're looking like for one transfer, and a lot of people have Solanke in their team, because you're not going to make a transfer just for one game week, right? You're looking at it from at least a 2-game week minimum or 3-game week perspective, especially for those who are like wildcarding in game week 31. They're looking at it as a 2-game week option. So then you go and look at two fixtures, and Brentford have, they got Burnley and then they've got United in 30. There are a few other teams from Fulham, Spurs this week, but then they have Sheffield United in game week 30. And that brings Muniz into the question mark as well. So those are all a few things to consider. Also then, funds. Let's say you wanted to get Salah in game week 30. Are you treating this move as a get for 2 weeks and also try and free up funds for game week 30 kind of move as well? So a few things to consider. All depends on chip strategy. But I guess top three would be Tony, Reguilon if fit, and either Wissa or Flecken, maybe Wissa for the upside.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess like if it's a free hit, go for Wissa. You want that attacking potential there. If you're going Tony as well, like then maybe not Wissa. Maybe sort of like you want to. I don't know. It'd be good to get your perspective on this. Would you be thinking about going for three Brentford this game week because of the Burnley fixture? Because some of the other fixtures are looking very good as well. So, you know, I think I would be thinking just going with two, just because the clean sheet potential is so low, even though it's probably the highest of the fixtures that we have, but it's still very low. So I'd be inclined to just go for two players and going for, you know, a Reguilon or a Flecken and a Tony or a Wissa, depending on, like you say, the plans that you have ahead, you know, if you're not true. On a free hit.
Yep, true. Like even on a free hit, it depends because if I don't pick Flecken as a goalkeeper, I think there's another player that we can talk in the next fixture. But there aren't that many options because like Spurs, I don't really want Vicario as my option. I want to use like the other players from Spurs. West Ham, Aston Villa, I don't think there's a clean sheet from either side because West Ham just being poor and Aston Villa having lost Magin. And then you have Luton versus Forest, which we'll get to next. Where I guess I might as well just go straight to Luton vs Forest because a lot of non-Game Week 29 free hit managers, I guess they'll be hoping to see their Luton players do well. Now, we're recording this before the Bournemouth game, so we don't know what will happen in that game as well. That's one thing to kind of mention in terms
of... We have high hopes for that game.
I have only Doty and I'm like, Doty, you can do anything you want in terms of getting goals, assist. I hope the others don't impact too much from a rank perspective. That's my own selfishness. But I guess you're hoping for like Morris to step up as well.
I really am. I really am. I've actually gone with four on my wild card in terms of doublers. And so, yeah, it was always going to be a bit risky. And, you know, so I decided to go with two Bournemouth and two Luton.
Yeah.
Like my Bournemouth player that I've brought in is, obviously I've got Solanke in the team, but I went with Neto. So yeah, I do need Morris to do really well because Morris is my differential, funny enough.
Yep. And true, that's the thing. So wait and see because Morris is also probably another consideration for that forward line for game week 30. Now, for a free hit, I guess people are looking at 1 week punts on Forest players. People that have been touted up, the likes of Morgan Gibbs-White, Anthony Elanga, who got benched, which kind of puts a few doubts in him. I don't see many going for a Forest defensive player unless I've seen Cels, the goalkeeper, be the other option, which is what I was thinking. So it's either Flecken or Cels. Now, the reason I've seen Cels in quite a few is because Forest's defensive numbers are still pretty decent. It's not that bad.
Yeah, which is a surprise.
Yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
What. I was preparing for like my pod after this and I was looking at the last 6 game weeks, like defensive numbers, and Forest are kind of up there. So that's like, okay, so if I don't want to go for a Flecken and if I go for Cels, Then do we think Forest is going to keep a clean sheet? But then at the same time, you look at Luton's attack and they keep meeting their XG, expected XG, or overperforming their expected XG. And you're like, probably not going to be a clean sheet in that game. So, no. Again, how do you see the game going and like what picks from either side?
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, so this is the one that I feel like will be probably more goals than what we realize. Like, so Nottingham, like Forrester's attacking has not been that great either. No. So that's what's interesting here. So attacking wise and then defensively, they've been decent, right? Mm. So not great in attacking, but decent in defense. I was actually thinking about even like Aneko Williams, you know, like, yes. Is he an option just because of his attacking potential as well? And so, you know, when we think about Luton, yes, Luton's attacking potential is a lot higher than their defense, right? And I can't imagine many people will have double Luton defense. And if you do, then yeah, you've probably got Kaminski there rather than another, you know, defender. Doughty's probably going to be the obvious one there as well in that defense, you know, lineup. But I do like the Sells pick. So yeah, again, you know, I was considering like my wild card, like which goalkeepers have the matchups. And interestingly, when I was looking at a couple of like transfer algorithms, Sells kept coming up as an option, but I was put off until, you know, just today, actually, yeah, when I was looking at the defensive numbers and realized that Nottingham's defensive stats are decent. Mm. So look, Neco Williams came to mind. I think there's also Morello as well as an option. Is he a midfielder or a defender? I'm not
centre
sure.
Back, I think. Morello, oh, okay. I think he's a centre back, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But Neco Williams is the defensive option that you really want from
Forest. From an attacking attacking perspective. Yep. I think that's probably the best option there. But I'm expecting goals, you know, again in this match. I think given Forest's attacking potential, I wouldn't be surprised if somehow Luton keep a clean sheet. I would not be surprised. I mean, when we think about attack, right, there's Awoniyi for Forest, and then there's Wood. Yep. I think Wood probably has the better sort of, you know, expected minutes, I believe.
Probably,
just basing it on the last couple of matches. I imagine Wood is also on pens as well. I'm not sure because Morgan Gibbs-White has also taken a pen.
That's the thing. That's where we're kind of unsure in terms of who is actually on penalties. I think Gibbs-White is definitely on the free kick taking duty, but in terms of penalties, I'm not really sure in that specific situation. I think Gibbs-White should be the one taking it, to be honest, but hard to tell.
Hard to tell. And like you say, Elanga missed the last game. Mm. So, and it was actually Elanga, I believe, that had decent numbers that he was putting up over the last sort of, you know, 4 to 6 matches or so. So look, when I was doing my my stream on my show just yesterday, you know, I'd picked Morgan Gibbs-White, you know, as my sort of almost a punt pick if I was, you know, doing a free hit. His numbers haven't been brilliant, but they've not been terrible either. And this could be the fixture where he gets some returns because it's Luton. So, I think there's a couple of options there. But I think given most will go with three at the back, given also the clean sheet odds and what they, you know, what most managers already have in their team. So we're probably looking at, you know, Reguilon, a Doughty, and maybe a Spurs defender, which we'll come to, you know, soon anyway. I don't think a defensive transfer is a good option, like for a Forest player anyway, because you're probably going to have Doughty in that fixture anyway. So really it's the mid and attack, mid and forward. And even then, probably just one player, and that would probably be like your Elanga or Morgan Gibbs-White.
Yep. That's what we, if we get to know who's starting before like the deadline, they maybe can make a decision. But even then, the attack has been just like kind of very disappointing that just is not convinced on their attack per se.
No.
Yeah. And with this being an away game for them and Luton at home, I feel like Luton, the upside is there for Luton. It's a relegation match as well, which means Luton kind of need to win as well. So
they have to win.
That's a very important game there. So yeah, not... there could be goals in this, like you said, it could be more than what we expect, but it just feels like quite underwhelming in a fixture that I'm like, don't know where to go.
Absolutely, absolutely. And look, I've already got two Luton players. So I've already got Doughty in the team and I've got Morris. And I went with Morris on my wildcard because of this fixture as well. So obviously they doubled in 28. And of course, you know, having that extra fixture in 29 makes a huge difference. But do I want to hold on to Luton players sort of beyond? Not so much, actually. So, you know, I think Morris is probably going to end up on my bench when I think about bringing in Haaland back, for example. And even with Doughty, I'm not sure how long I would keep him, but I think just because of his attacking potential, maybe he does end up staying in my side for a little bit longer. I'm not sure. So I think, again, you know, from a Luton player's perspective, the obvious picks are probably, you know, your Morris and your Doughty, unless you also have Kaminski. So Kaminski is the other sort of goalkeeper option who also doubled. And so many managers, I imagine, would have brought in Kaminski as well. But in the midfield, though, I wouldn't mind a punt on like a Barkley or a Chong.
True. The thing is, the other options in midfield for this week, there are a few
definitely
significantly better options that I'm like, yeah, maybe if you had wildcarded and you got Barkley, then you kind of have to play him this week.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I think there are a few other options. Again, I guess we'll come to the next one in terms of Fulham versus Spurs, because that's where the midfield is going to likely be. Now, again, a few more FPL options in this game. Apart from Sun, who else from Lexi Spurs could be interesting? And are you looking at any Spurs players for your team on a non-free hit?
Good question. So I've already got two.
Yep.
So I've got Udogi, and look, I went Udogi mostly because from a funds point of view, I have to admit, when I played my wild card, I did take out Haaland from the team. Obviously, had lots of money. You know, thank you, Haaland. Sale there, and it's great to see his price drop as well. But that does mean I'm going to be thinking about bringing him back in as well at some point. So I think I have something like 13 mil in my bank at the moment, which is ridiculous to have that much money sitting there. But my plans do include bringing in Salah again, bringing in Haaland again, maybe even looking at bringing in Foden back as well. So, you know, again, I was thinking about, you know, wildcard 30, 31, you know, what sort of drafts would I be making for that sort of period? And so that I can, you know, almost like not necessarily stay on par with what may become the template, but just kind of, you know, preempt and anticipate that given the fixtures that are coming up during that period, they are probably the players that I want in terms of those key players to have that have perhaps even a high EO as well. So look, Son's made my wild card. And again, you know, mostly because of the Game Week 29 fixture, and recency bias also suggests that Son is probably going to be the highest, you know, transfer in. He scored, 17 points or something like that. Maddison is probably the other sort of midfielder or attack, you know, that I'd be considering as part of my, you know, transfer strategy. But as you mentioned, I've already got Saka and Palmer there as well. So, you know, they're both not playing, but I don't want to get rid of them either. So I've already got three playing midfielders. So I've already made my decision that I'm only going to have two Spurs players on this occasion, because I think from an attack, you know, from a attack perspective, Son is the talisman and will be, you know, sort of involved, I believe anyway, especially against Fulham, who are, you know, actually defensively not terrible, but still leaky, you know, as well. Madison would be that sort of, you know, if you're doubling up in the mid, but from a forward line, there's not many options, right? I mean, there's Werner.
So if he starts,
yeah. And Johnson, you know, got the start in the last game for them. So yeah, I think, look, if you were going all in on Spurs, then it would probably be, I mean, it would have been, you know, Richarlison, it would have been Madison, and it would have been Son. But now it's looking a little bit like Madison, Son, and Johnson, maybe. Or you know, is Kulusevski the pick that we sort of think about as well? So if you want a little bit more of a differential, is Kulusevski the one that, you know, we go for? But I honestly think that you'd probably want to have, you know, at least one defensive Spurs player. So I think this is why Vicario is not really an option, because Porro and Udogie are good options to have in the defense. So look, personally, only having two, but I think, you know, I imagine for this fixture and given how Spurs play as a team and as a unit, probably, you know, to have three in the team and that too with two mids there.
Yep, fair enough. Yeah, for me, on a free hit, I'm looking at probably three, but it's the double Spurs attack with Madison and Son, and I've got Pedro Porro. Now, I've kept Pedro Porro with me. I'm happy to like play him in this team, this game as well. He's kind of been a little bit less attacking, but because he takes like set pieces and everything, he does get to get on like those bonus points, and that's why he got a bonus point this week as well. So I'm happy to continue to play him as well for this specific week. But the tempting option can also be like, if we can get like, if we know who's going to start, whether it's Brennan Johnson or Timo Werner or Kulusevski, they could also be very interesting options for this week. Now, like you said, Fulham haven't been that leaky, but they do tend to concede a few goals. But on the other hand, Fulham's attack has been pretty good in the last few weeks. And you think Spurs aren't going to keep a clean sheet, then the going for triple Spurs attack kind of makes sense. While also, if you want some Fulham players, now Muniz has been on really good form. Probably out of all the forward options for this week, he's probably the one who's taken the most number of shots as well in the last couple of weeks, I think.
That's
right. So his numbers are really up there. But he's not been spoken about as much in terms of teams. Especially free hit, I haven't seen that many. Myself as well, like I said, you do kind of make those hedges, and I'm thinking, oh, maybe Spurs' defense could be decent. They've kind of improved a bit more. After the break, I've noticed the numbers slightly being better. I'm like, oh, okay, so does that mean that Pedro Porro is going to keep a clean sheet? And now I'm like talking myself out of Muniz this week, and I'm like talking myself into going for a Morris against Forest compared to a Muniz against Spurs. That's something that I kind of need to decide and see. I would have loved to have gone Muniz and Morris and not go for Tony, but the fixture is just too good that I'm like, even though his form hasn't been there, I'm not sure if I want to go against the fixture.
I'm tempted
to go against the fixture.
Yeah, yeah. I'm tempted not to go Tony and to go Muniz, you know, in my attack lineup.
Because you get the game week 30 fixture as well against Sheffield.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. It's a good fixture. And like you say, I mean, from an attacking outlet point of view, I mean, Fulham have been okay. They defensively have also been okay. Like I was looking at Robinson, Castagna was coming up as well. But again, I wasn't sort of convinced. Leno is a really good option in goal, right? So, you know, he's been playing well and gets his, you know, gets the bonus points as well. I think the only downside with Leno is that there are other goalkeepers that have got better sort of stats, you know, for the upcoming fixtures as well. And he's priced a little bit more expensive than some of those, you know, budget options that are getting, you know, clean sheets, but also save points. And yeah, so it just doesn't make sense to go there. I think Robinson was the other sort of defender. Iwobi, he's the other sort of, again, you know, midfield, the midfield is very stacked though. So I think, you know, he's probably not going to get a shoe in given like how stacked the midfield is. But I have a question for you, Ryan. Like if given the midfield is so stacked, would you be tempted to play 3-5-2?
I have thought about that. Now this is where it comes into the whole mini league aspect as well, where I'm looking at the guys above me and I'm like, okay, some of them have triple Luton but no Morris. And I'm like, that's why I was thinking about Morris, because of that slight differential punt. 3-5-2 is also not a bad option. I could try that, but then that means I just don't go with like a Morris and I have just a Tony and Watkins, and I go maybe with the Iwobi as well, like you mentioned. That is a possible option as well. I still haven't figured out what formation I want to settle on. I might even also have a look at see how the Villa versus West Ham in their European fixtures go. Because there are midfielders there as well that I kind of want, but I don't know how many. So, yeah, still uncertain. But the advantage in a 3-4-3 is that the forwards that we're looking at, most of them have penalties.
Yes, that's true.
That's the thing. So if a penalty does come in that game, you're like, yes. Haven't really confirmed what formation, but open to either for the moment.
It is really tricky. I mean, like, most will probably be going for, at the very least, I would imagine anyway, Tony and Watkins, right? Yep. So you've either got Tony and Watkins already in your team or you're thinking about them in free hit anyway. It's really that third spot that's a little bit of a, yeah, it's open. So Morris seems to be the obvious pick. Again, if you've already brought in Morris for the double. But surprisingly, I've been seeing a lot of people bringing in Morris, you know, as part of their free hit as well.
Yes, I noticed that.
And so,
partially thinking about it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, they've got Forest, of course, but there are some other options as well. So Muniz, you know, I do like that option. Spurs have been leaky. So, yeah, and it seems like he's getting the minutes, you know, but we're probably expecting more than 70, 80 minutes, yes, you know, from him anyway. And because of those sort of upcoming fixtures, I was just, you know, having a quick look at who, you know, Fulham have after that. So they've got Sheffield in 30 and then they've got Forest after that, yeah, in 31.
Good run.
Yeah. So from that perspective, I definitely am tempted because it also means that I can get rid of Morris in my in game week 30 or 31 to bring in Haaland. And that way I'm, you know, benching Muniz as and when, you know, I need to. But just play, you know, two up front basically for the remainder of the season, perhaps, you know, depending on how much FOMO I can avoid with, you know, bringing in Tony. But I think if I brought in Tony, that would change my plans because it means that I would have to take out Watkins or Tony to bring in Haaland back in. That also means I hold on to Morris a little bit longer. Yeah, I'm not too sure there, but yeah, look, that may influence my decision to go Muniz and, you know, again, sort of back the lowly owned player who's sitting in a, you know, Fulham side that is attacking at the moment.
Yeah, that's the thing, because like even Morris, even though I'm thinking about it from a mini league perspective, to be actually like proper differential against even those who wildcarded like yourself in 28 or those who loaded up on Luton assets and are not free hitting in 29. Like going for Morris means you're kind of going with the template, and to go against it would be to try and go and get like that Muniz, maybe not really Chris Wood. So he is probably that stand up pick, Muniz or Timo Werner if we know he's starting. But ideally, I would prefer, I guess, Muniz over Werner at this moment in terms of minutes and especially like shooting ability.
Yeah,
I'm not confident with Werner.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, Werner keeps hitting that, you know, yeah, absolutely. But he is getting returns as well. I just think that there are better Spurs options to go for. And I think that's probably going to be the decider. But again, you know, given the clean sheet odds for you know, game week 29 is going to be relatively low. And it's possible that Reguilon is out, maybe, you know, maybe not. So for people like me, I'm not thinking about making any defensive transfers, you know, for this game week. I've just kind of written off that maybe I'll have Reguilon playing, maybe I won't have Reguilon playing, but I'm okay with that. So either way, it will be an attacking transfer that I will be making, given I'm not on a free hit. So I'm just expecting that there's probably going to be zero clean sheets.
Yep. Fair enough. Yeah, that's the thing. One thing to add also, if you're thinking like there's going to be zero clean sheets, but those on a free hit, maybe Leno isn't too bad option because he'll probably make the most saves out of all the goalkeepers because Spurs are probably going to take the most amount of shots from all these teams. So that's also, I guess, one thing to consider. But you still kind of have to play the hedge and go for someone who's probably better at keeping a clean sheet this week.
I completely agree with you. Yeah.
All right, now the final game, West Ham versus Aston Villa. Now, Villa will be without Magin, which could affect them and how they approach the game. Both teams have Europe this week as well, which we kind of need to consider ahead of their fixture based on like the lineup they put. For example, if Moreno starts in Europe or Luka Dean starts in Europe, I think a lot of managers who own them are kind of waiting to see on that. So how do you see this game going and what picks are you interested from both sides?
So such a good point about the European fixtures. I think we forget sometimes that, you know, that they're both in Europe still. And so, yeah, if you're not sort of focusing on those matches anyway, and just on the Champions League itself. But yeah, I think it's going to be a goals fest. I can't see any clean sheets here. And so, again, from a defensive point of view, it's really tricky with Villa, isn't it? So not expecting clean sheet there, but also not sure where you would go from a defensive perspective, right? I think maybe Konsa is the only one maybe that might be nailed.
Or Pau Torres, probably.
Maybe Pau Torres, yeah. Or Martinez. And I guess like that's the other option, because Martinez is not a bad shout for on a free hit in goal, because again, you know, can expect West Ham to be taking lots of shots. So from a save points, you know, point of view, it could be a good shout. Especially if you're feeling a little bit nervous about which defense, you know, which defender to actually go for. Agree. Pau Torres, Moreno, Dinia, like all of these are sort of options, and it just comes down to, it's not going to be clean sheet. So what's going to give you the most potential attacking returns as well? Mm. So yeah, it's a tricky one, I think, with Villa. And I guess like defensively, we're probably not going to go there with West Ham anyway, right? Like, unless you have Areola like me. Yeah, I've got Areola and I'm going to have him.
Yeah,
that's right. And I went with Areola again from a funds point of view, and I was thinking about upcoming fixtures, which are not necessarily brilliant, but given the price point that Areola is on, you know, on, but also, you know, the save points, the bonus points, you know, he's been keeping a couple of clean sheets and he's been saving penalties as well. So I think I'd rather sort of put my money there than go for like a Kaminsky for the sake of a double that they had, or, you know, go for, I've got Neto, you know, as well as my second goalkeeper anyway. So I think defensively, probably not many options there. Mm. Maybe Soufal if you really want to go there.
Yeah, if Emerson is not fit as well, but I still wouldn't go defense, because West Ham are a very weird team. I don't know what West Ham will kind of turn up, which is why, like you say, Martinez, and we probably say that there's not going to be any goals, but you never know with West Ham.
You never know.
If they don't turn up, Martinez is keeping a clean sheet. So,
yeah. But on the other hand, from an attacking point of view, I think this is where there's quite a few options, right? Mm. So I think when I was looking earlier from an attacking perspective, they've got, so West Ham, for instance, they've got Paqueta back as well. So from an outlet point of view, they've got a bit more there. Mm. Kudus is playing really well. Paqueta's back in there. And you've got Bowen, of course, you know, which is probably going to be the obvious sort of pick to have, like the template pick at the moment for game week 29. I did bring Bowen in on my wild card, so I've got Bowen in the side for this fixture. But I probably plan to take him out straight away in game week 30 and bring in Salah. So that's my plan, you know, at the moment. So it was mostly for that Burnley fixture that, you know, he blanked in.
Yeah.
But also this fixture could be a good fixture given, you know, Villa. Yeah, I mean, they've just lost 4-0. And fair enough, you know, recency bias and all of that. And it was because of a red card as well. But yeah, look, I do think that there'll be goals in this match anyway. But from the Villa side, I guess, look, I've got Bailey in the team.
Yep.
I really love how Bailey plays. I think that was mostly, I don't know what his stats were actually saying, but, you know,
it's not too bad.
Enjoyed.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yes. And I've enjoyed watching him play. So I think, you know, Bailey's a really good option, but I'd be keeping an eye on the European fixture. Like, yes. Is Diaby going to start or is Bailey going to start? And what does the minutes look like there? Because those could be a potential, you know, sort of substitutions that could happen there as well. And Watkins is the obvious, the obvious pick, which is, I don't know, I think when I was looking yesterday, it was like 60% owned. So,
only 60%. That's interesting.
I thought
it would have been significantly higher.
Have a quick look, but it'd be high.
Now this week though, with captaincy being kind of open, he's actually 92% at my side.
So
he will be pretty highly owned this week.
Him
and Son are definitely like shoehorn regardless of chip strategy, like chip ideas this week.
Definitely.
Now You did mention like Bowen, Paqueta, Kudus. I'm kind of very interested by Paqueta. Now, a lot of people, I think he'll be the least that people will go to in terms of the attacking trio. But yeah. It's just because penalties, potential set pieces, if Ward-Prowse is not on the pitch. And also, like, he has that out ball, like, be able to put in. I think there was one, the goal that they got ruled out for Danny Ings was from him assisting. So those are the kind of situations I'm like thinking, okay, maybe I can have Paqueta. Now, this is where you mentioned like the 3-5-2 or a 3-4-3. If I was on a 3-4-3, I would have Madison Sun and Paqueta, and I wasn't sure who I wanted as the fourth one, whether I wanted to go for Bowen or whether I wanted to go for Gibbs White, Iwobi, stuff like that. Now, if I went for a 3-5-2, I'd probably go Bowen as well because I have an extra another midfielder spot to play with. The only thing that is, the reason why I'm thinking I could probably take on Bowen is because if Antonio plays again, kind of pushes Bowen out wide compared to when the previous games he was the one playing down the middle. So that is something that I kind of have to keep an eye out for and see whether, like, if he's playing out wide and whether Antonio is starting, then I might actually think about taking on Bowen and not actually going for him. And this is a good, this goes back to also trying to have a few risk in my free hit to try and potentially gain rank. Could backfire big time, but kind of have to take risk at some point.
You have to take, you have to take risk. You know, I was watching your stream the other day and, you know, yesterday, and, you know, I think we were talking about sort of calculated risk. Yeah. And this is the opportunity to take some of those calculated risks because, I mean, let's face it, unless you're playing a free hit, you're probably not fielding an 11.
Yes.
And if you've managed to get to a point to game week 29 where you're fielding an 11, wow, you know, that's fantastic and good on you for achieving that, especially if you're dead-ending, you know, soon and wildcarding out of it. But the likelihood of the clean sheets are very low. The likelihood of fielding 11 is, you know, a little bit low as well, especially if you're free, if you're wildcarding later and not free hitting because you want a free hit in 34. So now's the best time to be taking some of those risks.
Yeah, that's the thing. So that's what I'm kind of thinking. This is the game where I'm, this specific game is where I'm like, okay, which one can I go and get? So from a Villa perspective, I think I probably only have Watkins because defense, we think they might not keep a clean sheet. Again, I won't be surprised if West Ham don't turn up, but I think they might not keep a clean sheet because I think McGinn, the loss of McGinn does affect Aston Villa's defense is what I'm believing. So we'll see on that. It's just that I haven't decided. Like, again, 3-5-2, I could go Leon Bailey as well. That's another option as well.
I like the Bailey pick and, you know, which is why I went there. But I guess like with McGinn being out, we would imagine Douglas Luiz sort of falling back a little bit there from a defensive.
So now Douglas Luiz, a lot of people have Douglas Luiz in their teams. And even with McGinn being there, I didn't expect Douglas Luiz to do that much this week because if you look at his FPL stats or at least his FPL returns, a lot of his returns are from home and not away. And this is an away fixture anyways. The idea that we came up with on our podcast was that Douglas Luiz in general away games is a bit more deeper compared to the home games. But I don't know. So we'll see. But now with McGinn out, he kind of has to play more back as well. So
Which is a real shame because I imagine a lot of managers would have Douglas Luiz. You know, again, I imagine he'll still be on the pens as well. And so... Yeah, again, he's a good option, but not for this fixture. It feels now.
Yeah,
so,
but there's still,
you know, from a wild card point of view.
Yeah, but like,
sorry, free hit.
Yeah, on a free hit, I don't think you probably go for him.
No.
Yeah, that's the thing. Cool. Let's end it with captaincy. Before Heung-min Son went and scored that massive brace, which kind of has put him into that default captaincy option. Who are your captain options for this week?
There are some really good options this week, isn't there? I think that's what makes it very tricky. So look, I currently, so before going into this game week, I had been thinking about Watkins as a potential captaincy option because, again, West Ham haven't been looking great. I had my armband on, you know, Watkins for a bit and then, you know, Son got his big haul. And so I switched it over to Son. But it depends who I bring in as well. So despite sort of being a bit tentative about bringing in Tony is another good captaincy option this week as well against Burnley. So yeah, there's a few options there. And I don't know if we're missing anyone else. Like if I look at my team again, I'm not sure if not. Yeah, they're probably the obvious ones, right? Yeah. So between Son, Watkins and Tony, maybe an outside chance on Morris if you're feeling punty and, kind of feeling risky, you know, from that point of view. Although, you know, as we talked about, Forrest's defensive numbers are looking decent, so probably not a good shout to go Morris. So, yeah, look, I think it's between Watkins, Tony and Son. And at the moment, I shifted my captaincy on Son just because, like, again, as a team, they're playing so well. So if it's not getting a goal, it's getting an assist.
Yeah, fair enough. True. I'm also on Son at the moment. It's just that, you know, also extra point for the goal and all of that. If they keep a clean sheet, another extra point. So all of that does contribute.
That's a good point.
Yeah, we have to mention though, his returns in the last two games have come in like added time and whatnot, and very at the end. So kind of have to wait and see in terms of that. But I think the fixture is there in this one for potential returns.
I actually feel maybe I might go back to Watkins. Yeah, I think I love what you said about the extra points and everything, and going with that, you know, midfield option as a captaincy does give you a little bit more. But also, I mean, noting if we think about sort of recency bias perspective, Villa were down to 10 men, you know, as well. Yes, and those returns came at the end there. That doesn't mean that he's still not a good option that, you know, Spurs are a really good sort of attacking unit and Ange Ball and all of that. Like we're huge fans without being Spurs supporters as well. I just think that Watkins has been phenomenal this season. And so maybe he's going a little bit under the radar because of Son's recent haul as well.
Potential. Again, that's another like calculated risk. Trying for a differential captain, he's probably a good option this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Before we leave, we do have a community question, which is from my Cayman fan, Matt. And basically, he wants to hear your thoughts on a cheap 1 week forward pick sub 7 million. Yes,
there's quite a few.
Yeah. We did speak about Mooney's as a pretty good option. I guess Chris Wood or Awoniyi from Forest, one of them.
Yeah. I think if I had to pick, it would probably be to go for Moniz. But that's only because I'm thinking longer term as well, which is why, you know, I'm probably leaning that way. I don't mind Wissa. I don't mind Wissa just because, you know, like we discussed, Tony's playing a little bit deeper than what he normally has been. And Wissa's been the one that's been in the box. Yep. Getting at the end of, you know, those crosses in, you know, etc. So, yeah, I'd be tempted to go Wissa, you know, under that 7 mil. I mean, there is quite a few under 7 mil. I'm just looking at, like, you know, the options available. I don't know if I'd want to go Wood or Awoniyi. Like, just don't know, you know, from a Forest perspective, what sort of Forest turn up.
Yeah, true.
But I think the fixture for Brentford is probably the best one. So you're really looking at Wissa as a good option there if it was for 1 week.
Fair enough. So cool. Thank you for your time today, Mira. Do you have anything to plug?
Thank you so much for your time as well, Ryan. Really great to sort of join you on the video version this show. The only thing I'd love to plug is my own show. So, you know, I have a show called Off the Cuff, and it's very much off the cuff chats. And, you know, with me, FPL Mez 8, you can find me on Twitter or X and also on YouTube. Very casual conversations. It was great to have you on as well. It's just talking about FPL and game weeks and about life and everything else in between. So thank you for having me on.
Fair enough. And you can also find me, Football Chatbox, on YouTube, where I do weekly videos and deadline streams. And if you reached up to this point, make sure to hit the like button and subscribe as well to the Fantasy Football Scout. And thank you to everyone That's basically it for this week. I'll be back after game week 29 and looking ahead to game week 30. But before that, there is an international break. So that's also something to keep in mind. So the video will be either in one of the 2 weeks of the international break. So yeah, green aerosol, and thank you for listening.